This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Eric McClain in 30 minutes. Dabo with Mark from yesterday's edition of Off Campus on SiriusXM 84. Coming up here in about 15 and the weekend menu. And if you follow us on a Football Friday, you know what happens at 10:05 today. Pack and the dogs loaded up. Two biscuits, no butter.
That's it.
And Mark gets the middle panel.
My choices vary from week to week.
Middle panel.
But the boys.
Somewhere in the middle panel.
Yeah, it's normally two of these. If they got one of those Bojangles deals, like two sausage biscuits for the price of one, we'll go there.
Yeah.
Whatever they're in the mood for.
Get you a bow tea and bow taters?
I don't do the bow tater. I definitely do the tea. You got to have some little sweet tea to start your day.
Nice, yeah. All right, let's get to one stat per game. We are now 57 minutes from the weekend menu. Or the weekend period. Virginia Tech Boston College is tonight, and we start with the Hokies, who over the last two games have seen freshman Malachi Thomas run for 254 yards and three scores.
He has been a pleasant surprise for the Hokies. Pleasant surprise.
Got an array of video here.
We have every team in the league.
And there's Malachi. We've seen Malachi twice. We've seen Sean Tucker and Malik Cunningham also.
We serve all, Wes.
We do. Love all, serve all. How many times I tell you? We're the Hard Rock Cafe of television.
Yeah, no matter what game we're talking about, we're going to show you highlights of everybody.
You know why? Because we got 14 of them.
That's exactly.
We can get it going.
Last year was tougher to squeeze in 15. This year, 14's a piece of cake. Lay up.
Sling it out. That's all right. It. Pitt at Duke High Noon tomorrow, right here on ACC Network. For Pittsburgh, in conference games, they're averaging 35.25 points a game, while Duke is surrendering 40.5 points a game.
Not good. That is a bad combination, is what that is, if you're a Duke fan. As I mentioned earlier, they've given up 30 or more in five consecutive, and here comes Pitt off a loss. Kenny Pickett and the boys, I think they'll have a lot of points at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium tomorrow.
Yep. Could be.
They're 6-1 against Duke since joining the league, too, by the way.
Yeah. Man, they tend to play shootouts, too. They got a little shootout tendency about them. Wake Forest at Carolina, 12 noon, beautiful Kenan Stadium in Chapel Hill over on ABC. Tar Heels a slight favorite. Wake Forest, the only FBS team, as Pac said earlier in the show, to score at least 35 in each game this season.
The only one in the country. But yet, all we talked about college football playoff night with the poll was, man, their defense is atrocious.
Yeah.
I noticed Dave Clawson addressed that yesterday in the media. Good for coach.
Yeah.
Needed to be.
Uh-huh.
Needed to be. This is a really good football team. And they've proven it so far through eight.
Carolina's given up at least 35 in five of their last six games. Duke, the only one they did not.
Wes, before we go to the next game, is it possible that that's a 24-21 game?
Stop it.
All right, you answer the question. Because I don't think it can be either.
Come on.
I think both those offenses are so good, I think it could be crazy good. Like I said, if you love offensive football, this is your game tomorrow. It really is.
I'm going to go back to my statement with Bronco. I said it a couple days ago. This league's channeling the whack.
Well, at some places. I know of one school that's not channeling the whack.
Clemson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tigers are trying to break 20. Go figure that out.
Tigers are channeling Maxion, or what are we doing?
I don't know what they're doing. They're channeling a lot of punts.
Oh, Big 8, Big 10 days.
I don't know what's going on there.
All right.
Who knows?
Wake, Carolina, we talk about the 35. How about 12:30? Georgia Tech, Miami. Tyler Van Dyke's looking to become the first Miami quarterback in at least the last 15 years with three straight games of 300 passing yards and three touchdowns in each game.
He's been so good.
Look at the sidearm.
So good.
Bang.
He's just playing with so much confidence. His team looks totally different with him under center, don't they? I mean, the last 2 weeks, you go back-to-back against ranked teams when you're looking like you're dead in the water. I go back to what I told you the other day about – man, when Manny Diaz was shaking Mac Brown's hand at the end of that game that you and Raleigh were doing, you're thinking, oh, yeah, this is going to be a rough run. And, man, here comes TVD.
Like in a bad way.
Right.
Bad.
And here comes TVD, and whew, off to the races we go.
Right.
Down there in Hard Rock Land.
Yeah.
Kane's doing it, man.
NC State, Florida State's game two of our triple dip here on ACC Network. Florida State averages nearly 210 yards a game rushing, second best in the ACC. Well, guess who's best at stopping it? NC State, 108.4 allowed. That's second best rush defense.
It's strength versus strength.
Yeah, it's going to be. This one's. I'm. Look, I got a feel about tonight for Virginia Tech, right? I really worry about where Emmett Moorhead is in terms of throwing the ball for BC. This is the one tomorrow I'm kind of caught in the middle on. I don't really know what I'm going to. I think NC State can go on the road and win, but I think it. I'm not as confident about NC State because of where Florida State is. It's Florida funny. State's change has been
legit.
A good story.
No question about it. You know, you feel about this one for NC State as I did when they were going to Boston College.
Right.
It's the same kind of vibe. And, of course, right. BC game, NC State blew them out of the water in the second half and off to the races they go. I think it's imperative, though, for Florida State to get the game to the second half. Right? Because yes. I think NC State's the better team, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But is Florida State capable? Absolutely. Because they are playing with that chip on the shoulder that, guess what? We're not back, but we're playing good football. And they played good last week despite the loss at Clemson. They had a chance to win that game.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. You can scrap all this run versus run deal, the rush offense and the rush defense deal, because that just absolutely means that this game will be determined by something else.
Normally.
Yeah.
Normally fake left, go right. Misdirection trick. It's over here.
We're selling you on this one thing, and it's going to be over here that where it ends up.
I mentioned to you too that Florida State's really done a great job in this turnaround,
right?
Holding on to the football. They've done penalties. They've cut it down drastically. Turnovers, outstanding. And we've talked about Devin Leary all week, right? 211 attempts, no picks. He hasn't thrown one since week two. NC State has done a great job holding on to the football. They mm-hmm. do not beat themselves. You almost wonder, do you get one of those crazy weekends where, hey, there's eight turnovers, right? I mean, these teams have been so good in that department here lately mm-hmm. that you don't think that's going to be a factor in the game. You just never know.
Clemson, Louisville's our last for one stat per game, and that's tomorrow night, of course, in primetime presented by Geico here on ACC Network. Louisville averaging 5.5 yards per carry in the loss to NC State. That's a third straight game they've averaged better than 5 yards a carry. Clemson is the best in rush yards allowed per carry in the ACC at just better than 3. It is not the conventional play tomorrow night that I'm sure is Dabo Swinney and Brent Venables' biggest concern. It is the busted one. It is the loose on the backside play, the guy who ends up running free on the playground stuff. I mean, that's where Louisville can absolutely smoke you. But I feel fairly confident Clemson can box up the conventional stuff. It's the other stuff that I think is trouble tomorrow night.
Potentially trouble. I'm with you on that. And the other question, too, on the flip side, can Clemson score? Right?
I mean,
we ask that question literally every week. And finally, last week, they scored more than 19 points. The offense did. Mm-hmm. I know they scored 30 total, but, you know, the last play of the game was a defensive touchdown. Can they score?
Right.
And if it becomes a shootout, I just don't think they've showed any signs of life that they can win a 42-38 game.
No, you're right.
Just don't see it.
Going to be interesting to watch, isn't it?
Yep.
The ball game tomorrow night in primetime, and, of course, we start at noon, presented by Subway from Wallace Wade Stadium with Pitt and Duke here on ACC Network. Okay, forecasting. I haven't been here on a few Fridays, so let's forecast.
It's good having you back on a Friday.
Thanks. Yeah, don't get used to it. when we come back, Dabo Swinney will join us. He'll talk with Pack about the matchup tomorrow night in Louisville. Eric McClain's still to come. Pack's got to tell us who he thinks ultimately wins. We'll do all that and more. Rolling to 10 o'clock on a Friday on ACC.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget, triple header of ACC football, high noon. Number 25, Pittsburgh at Duke, presented by Subway. And then at 4 o'clock, off to Doak Campbell Stadium at Bobby Bowden Field for number 19, NC State and Florida State. And then tomorrow night in prime time, presented by Geico, Clemson, and Louisville from Cardinals Stadium, right there in Derby City, not far from the airport. All here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. It's not far from the airport.
I agree with you.
Yeah, there you
go. I'm with you. Not far from one ice cube tomorrow night. Nice and toasty. Perfect.
Tell you what. Good setup for Dave O'Brien, Tim Hasselbeck, and Kelsey tomorrow. Cardinal Stadium's a good environment now, especially at night.
They hope that thing's sold out. That's what they're trying to get, 61,000 in
there. They're blacking out tomorrow night, do we know?
I guess they are. I don't know.
We've seen some jersey reveals this week.
Ooh, some good ones and some bad ones.
Seen some bad ones now.
Yeah.
Can't say I'm a big fan of what the Bold Boys apparently in navy blue are going to wear tomorrow.
They're wearing their Duke gear tomorrow, aren't they? I told you, I don't like that dark
Let's
blue.
Get to Dabo. We'll talk about jerseys in a minute.
All right, Dabo joined me yesterday, as he always does, Thursdays on SiriusXM Channel 84 off campus from 4 to 7. And we started the conversation by saying, man, 30 points on the scoreboard, a defensive touch at the end of the game. Good team win for the Tigers.
Yeah, it was probably our best game, offensively and defensively combined as far as just putting it all together. Defensively, we were a little sloppy in the first half, but, man, we were dominant in the second half. And then offensively, really moved the ball the whole game. We just picked a bad day to go 1-for-4 on field goals, which is really uncharacteristic for BT Potter. He's had an amazing year and has saved us all year. But it was kind of our turn to save him. And so I was really proud of the offense because they, as you said, it's not been an easy year as far as really answering the bell there, but they did. They got the ball back with 3-something to go, and a great touchdown drive and 21-yard run by Shipley to put us up. So proud of the team, and again, feel like we got good momentum, especially the way it ended with a defensive touchdown. Good momentum going into November here.
Speaking of Shipley now, Will Shipley was on our Packer and Durham show this morning and made his debut. He handled himself with a touch class, which not surprised anybody. But, man, did he play great Saturday. I mean, the touchdown run was just he was just determined to get into the end zone. He played tough, and, Moffitt did too. I know you were kind of low in numbers in the running back category throughout the course of the day going into it. But, man alive, your two young running backs are really, really talented.
Yeah, we're excited about what we have at running back and how they've developed and throughout the season. Kobe Pace is a true sophomore, and he wasn't able to play the other night, but he's had an excellent year. And then, man, those two freshmen, Shipley and Maffa, it's just a really special little trio of guys. And Shipley just gets better. He just gets stronger as the game goes. He's a very dynamic guy. And had 120-something yards rushing and a lot of plays in the passing game. But Nemafa, he rolled his ankle and wasn't able to play the last quarter or so, but he still averaged 7 yards a carry and, had our biggest play of our longest play of the season on an outside zone run. I mean, he's going to be a great one. He's a big, strong, fast guy, 228 pounds. So we got a really, really bright future with those guys in the running back room. And, man, they're great kids. They're passionate about their craft, and so that bodes well for us for a good finish and next couple years with that room.
No doubt. All right, let's get to this week because this is going to be another challenge. You're on the road. You're taking on a team you've had great success against. However, there have been some great games between Louisville and Clemson, and you said it best this week, man. Every time I look at film on quarterbacks, I see another freak, and you got one this week with Malik Cunningham, who I believe – may be the most underrated quarterback in the country. Dynamic with his legs. He can throw the football. He's got experience. He's got really great guys around him. He's a nightmare. He is a big-time talent.
Yeah, this is kind of our year, I think, to be inexperienced at quarterback. It seems like every week we look up and we've got a very experienced player at quarterback. I mean, he's started, 33-plus games and he's a handful, man. I mean, this guy is a very accurate thrower. He's dynamic. He's the leading rusher. He's got 13 rushing touchdowns, and schematically everything goes through him. I mean, they're one of six teams in the country that rush and pass for 200 plus, which has allowed them to be very – that type of balance has allowed them to be very explosive. They lead the country in plays of 70 yards or more. You know, I mean, he's a problem. They've got a lot of option principles as far as how you have to defend them because he is such a great runner. Their backs are good players. They're averaging over 5 yards a carry. But schematically, they're going to put the ball in his hands and then get him on the edge. So we've got to, you know, we got to do a great job. Just another big challenge from what we had last week with Travis. Except that, you know, this guy is got a little bit more success throwing the football, and they're a little more balanced than what Florida State was. So this will be a big challenge for us, and they're a really good football team. I mean, they're 4-4, but they've got two losses that they were tied in the last minute of the game. You know, one at Wake Forest. Wake Forest kicks a field goal in the last minute to win it, and Virginia. So this is a very, very good team, well-coached. We're going to have to – and we've not played well on the road. We have not put it together. So thankful we got another opportunity, and we'll have to play our best game on the road to have a chance to beat this group at home. So we're looking forward to it, and got a lot of respect for both sides of the ball there with Louisville.
You know, they're sitting there at 4-4, and you're looking around going, man, with a break here or there, they're easily 7-1. I mean, that's not even a reach.
Yeah, no doubt about it, you know. And so we've got to make sure they don't find their mojo this week. That's for sure. But it's a very capable team, and you know, defensively they've kind of changed a little bit. You know, early part of the year they were a lot of coverage, and I think just kind of bend but don't break. And then, you know, these last couple games they've been really bringing a lot of pressure, and you know, really trying to stop the run game. And the way we've been running the ball, you know, that's probably how they'll play us. So. You know, we got to do a good job of finding a way to run, but also make those competitive plays on the back end. And then again, defensively, just don't give up the big play, you know, just don't give up the big play, you know, and keep this quarterback contained and try to affect him to where he can't throw in rhythm. That'll be a huge part of this game, and starts with winning that line of scrimmage just like last week.
Coach, I know you haven't seen everybody, and you're really concentrated on your guys, so this may not be a perfect question to ask, but Wes and I talk about this in the mornings. We've talked about it all summer, and I think the season has validated that, especially now that you start seeing awards coming out about folks that are in semifinalists and so forth. But I don't think anybody in the country is close, conference-wise, to quarterback play in the ACC. And I, like I said, I know you haven't seen everybody. But, you know, Brennan Armstrong, you saw him last year. He's having just a stupid year. Kenny Pickett, you saw a couple weeks ago. Again, he's 25 years old, rocking and rolling, 35, however old, but you know how great he is. Sam Howell's a tremendous player. You'll see Sam Hartman from Wake Forest in a couple weeks, and the Deacs, of course, having a record-breaking season. You're talking about Malik Cunningham, a guy you're going to see coming up this weekend. You saw Devin Leary at NC State. He's had an amazing year. You know, Wes and I were kicking this around the other day. 2016 was a magical year in the league from a quarterback play standpoint, and also the fact that you guys won the national title. Lamar Jackson wins the Heisman. You know, Trubisky was at North Carolina. I mean, there was a great list of quarterbacks that year. Dungy, Syracuse, et cetera, et cetera. Can you make a comparison? I mean, I know you sit there and you're worried about Malik Cunningham exclusively this week, but can you categorize the quality of play in terms of quarterback play in this league this particular year?
Well, it's been incredible. And like I said, every week we look up, it seems like, you know, holy cow, man, this guy's got great experience. And you know, Schrader at Syracuse is a nightmare. That kid's a handful, man. And, you know, different type of player. But man, he's a great competitor as well. But all of these guys. And so I think from a depth, it's an incredible year in this conference, and as good as it's been in a long time. And I think, you know, there's a lot of parity in the league this year. I think anybody can beat anybody in this league.
Okay. Anybody can beat anybody.
Maybe not Duke.
Whoa. Come on now. Never know.
You like
never
Duke,
know.
You like Duke tomorrow to beat Pitt? No. You think that can happen? No. I don't think that can happen. You know, one other thing real quick before we go. Remember we were talking about the Miami headset thing this week?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
And we got into the numbers 23. I asked Dabo that yesterday.
And?
I said, just walk me through the rule. And he said, oh, it's complicated. It's da-da-da. I said, you can get up to 23. I said, yeah, I know all that. But I said, if you had 60 guys, That's what I said to him. I said, if you had 60 guys wearing headsets, whether they're talking or not, I don't care. Would it have an effect on the game? And he said, in my opinion, no. I said, well, then why do we worry about the rule? Why do you care? He goes, well, some folks believe, you know, there could be some coaching going on and all that. I said, I assume there's always coaching going on, right? Whether you got a headset or not.
I'm going to give you another layer of that whole thing.
All right. But I made a note because you and I were talking about
it. Yeah, we were.
And I said, when I get Dabo Thursday, I'm going to ask him this question. Right. And Dabo was like, he goes, I really don't care how many people have a headset on. He goes, the number, you can go up to 23, you got to let everybody know ahead of time who's on it and why. And all. He goes, I don't know why Miami got in trouble. I said, well, I don't either. But why we got into the whole conversation about does it matter if you had 100 dudes wearing headsets? Mm-hmm. I mean, players still make plays.
Sure.
Right? You still got to make a call. Players got to make a play.
Right.
Whether the guy's got a headset on over there or not.
Correct.
So Dabo kind of was like in our conversation, like, I don't know. I'm not sure why it's a big deal.
All right. 2 weeks ago, Sean McDonough, who was with us yesterday, mentioned this on the show, mentioned this during the Clemson game. And yesterday I was talking to Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator at Pittsburgh, who said in his production visit with Sean about he and Kenny Pickett having these conversations where they talk about the plays. Kenny will work his way toward the bench, take the play, and come back, right? And they oftentimes it's just, hey, run, you know, whatever the play is, or sometimes, hey, if we run this, and Whip was telling me kind of about the conversations. And I said, well, did you tell McDonough you thought the college game should go to the communicators like the NFL has? He said, oh, yeah. He said, with all the other stuff we got going on and all the technology we've got, let's just go ahead and do that too. What do you think about that?
I'm all for it. If that works, knock yourself out. I mean, I'm on the couch. You know, if I go to a game, none of that bothers me. So if it works for the players and the coaches, go for it.
Right.
I don't care.
You had the 23 communication devices. And, oh, by the way, the quarterback got a helmet.
Great.
Okay.
I don't have an issue with that.
All right.
I mean, you know,
I think that's the next step.
Oh, personally. It may be. But I just thought it was interesting to hear from a coach who said, hey, I don't know. Man, you know.
Now, Dabo, the rule's 23. He's been successful.
Well, I said to him, too. I said, by the way, I said, are you chatty? I said, who are you talking to on that thing? He goes, well, I'll talk to Tony Elliott, and I'll talk to, Venables. And I said, are you chatty? He goes, I don't know if I'm chatty. He goes, you know, the game's going pretty quick. He says, you know, it's chatty. Not one of those, you know, listen, we've asked Dabo a question, and 7 minutes later, he's gone through the whole roster.
I was getting ready to say.
Right? So you got to figure if somebody chatty. Says, hey, Dabo, what do you think about this play? Well, you know, we're going to do this.
Brevity might not be his strong suit on the headset.
Well, he says he's not chatty.
That's probably a good idea.
That's what he said.
On the other side. I think we're going to Boston because I think it's Friday, and that means EMAC is in Boston. Probably Newton, to be exact. We'll talk to Eric McLean, who goes prime time tonight with Jason Benetti and Paul Carcaterra, Virginia Tech, BC. The big fella's next on Packer
and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, Power Hour continues.
Let's see. We're going to go live to Eric McLean. I'm going to get this right real quick, okay? Eric joins us this morning, so it's Friday. So Friday means Boston.
Right.
Okay.
Like, yeah, Friday means Boston.
Thursday was Charlotte.
Wait a minute.
Are you keeping up with the schedule?
Wednesday was Kalamazoo. Tomorrow is Bristol.
Right.
So Saturday's Bristol. Friday's Boston.
Right.
Thursday's Charlotte. Wednesday's Kalamazoo. And Sunday, I think he gets to see his wife, his bride. So there you go. That's a win.
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine seeing Khaki Mac for a little bit?
Khaki Mac. Hey, it's like me and Vicky. Got to figure it out, man.
You got to make
the hours in the day work, brother. That's all it is.
No question. And she's excited, though. I can tell you that.
No, she's not.
And then you have,
she's selling you a line on that, but
and,
go ahead.
And then you have the flip side, which is my world, and Amy's going, God, I wish you had Eric and Wes's schedule.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Can't you leave,
Mark? She enjoyed last week when we went to Notre Dame. She enjoyed that.
She did.
Yeah.
Honey, could you not stay in South Bend for, a month?
Yeah. So. Tell us about your game tonight, because Emmett Moorhead's going to get the call here And Frank Cignetti's got a wide book on offense for Jeff Hafley's team. Virginia Tech's a little salty on defense, especially at one corner with Waller. But this game feels weird to me tonight. This game's got a lot of weird to it, I think, before we ever kick it.
Yeah, well, first of all, it being the red bandana game, I think is very important. You know, this game's going to be juiced up Friday night. The fans are going to be electric. So really can't wait to see just that environment that it's going to be for Wells and for the red bandana game. And then the matchup itself, you know, there's a lot of weird things happening. Even though we're a year out from, you know, what was the COVID year, it still feels like this is a strange season for whatever reason. A lot of injuries for BC. Virginia Tech has mixed things up. They've got a running back, Malachi Thomas, coming out of nowhere to really be that shining light for this offense. So you have two teams that really still are trying to figure out who are they going to be, who do they want to be. Of course, Boston College, that's because of a brutal injury to one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And VT, just really since Khalil Herbert left, they're trying to figure out who's going to step up. And these last 2 weeks, it's been Malachi Thomas there.
Eric, there's also the deal that, you know, both of them have things to play for. I mean, Boston College has lost five consecutive ACC games. They went winless in October. They want to get that over with, right? Over with and rearview mirror and get back on the winning ways because they can still get to a bowl game. If you're Virginia Tech, as brutal as that stretch of three straight losses at home, you know what? That win last week on the road at Georgia Tech, Pitt's loss to Miami, all of a sudden it's not crazy to think that, hey, we win out, get a break here or there, we can get to Charlotte and play for an ACC championship. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine just peak coastal chaos for them or Miami, to be honest? And I don't know why we don't expect it, to be quite frank with you guys, just from what we've seen before. And so you're right, Pac. I mean, there is some good rallying points here. There is some momentum getting that big win, seeing Dax on the field, Dax Holyfield a week ago, just how juiced up he was and excited he was for his team. So I think you're right. I mean, if these guys, you know, can come together, say, hey, look, let's play for the name on the helmet. Let's play for the name on the back and all figure this thing out and really get going. There's no question. And I really did think that game a week ago between GT and VT, whoever wins that's going bowling, going to the postseason. So looks like some good momentum for Virginia Tech.
Are you at least intrigued by BC going to the Moorhead youngster, the Californian, tonight?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Just because of his arm talent. We saw that a week ago. I mean, we finally saw Zay Flowers able to be involved. Some deep shots to Zay Flowers. This kid has talent. He's got a great arm. So to see it up close and personal for, you know, 60 minutes or more is going to be interesting to see. And is a moment, you know, too big? Does he get a little nervous now that you're the guy? As we have seen time and time again throughout this league, it's a different world when you're QB1. So, you know, how does he handle that? But certainly looked the part a week ago.
All right, Eric, I'm going to ask you about quarterback changes here. And look, Dennis Grossell did a really good job after the Djokovic injury of kind of bringing that locker room together, right? I mean, that's a devastating loss, as you said, at the front end here. But there were some limitations to Grossell at the end of the day. And one of those limitations was you got to get Flowers the football. So is this change in your mind specifically driven to get Zay Flowers back in the offense? And then if you're able to do that, hopefully Garwo can run it a little better for BC behind that line?
I think it certainly had a big impact. I mean, when you have a guy who is as talented as Zay and just missed him time and time again, you probably win some of those games, to be quite frank, these last four that they've kind of been on the slide here, just wide open touchdowns that for whatever reason, they couldn't get on the same page. So I think when you look at that, you know, at the end of the day, Grossell is a great quarterback and a great backup and a guy that is going to rally the team, keep everybody together. But this thing's about wins and losses, and you have to make a change. You have to put your team in the best place to win. And as you just said, Wes, when the passing game is actually a factor, when it plays a part into it, that's going to open the run game. Because we've seen time and time again, these guys are able to run that football. This offensive line is very talented. You know, it hasn't been able to be on full display this year because of injuries and because of, you know, just the identity crisis that they may be going through on offense. But when you start throwing that thing all over the yard, you start getting, you know, safeties to not be up near the line of scrimmage and looking at eight-man box, you can run it again. And so I hope that that can eventually happen for BC and get back to, you know, that balanced attack that we saw from them for 2-3 games in this season.
Eric, let me take you around the league a little bit. We got 3 ACC teams ranked in the college football playoff poll, right? We got Wake at 9, NC State 19, Pitt at 25. All 3 play this week against unranked teams. Do you believe by the time everybody gets back to work on Monday that those 3 ranked ACC teams will still all get W's? Ooh. All 3.
I hope so. I hope so. It would be the most ACC thing ever for North Carolina to beat Wake Forest, especially this year, the way things are going. I know it's non-conference, so it doesn't affect anybody going to Charlotte, but, man, you just don't want to lose that one for Wake Forest. And I think they would still be ranked. So you're looking at NC State. You're looking at Pitt. I think they handle business. I think when you look at NC State, they have a very similar test as a week ago when they played Louisville. It's kind of funny that Clemson and NC State are kind of flip-flopping their opponents of who they're playing there. And, you know, with Florida State, it's all about Jordan Travis. You know, you have to contain him. You have to be able to slow him down, limit his production with his legs. And then if the running backs go off, that's kind of just a product of what happens. But we saw such a great effort from NC State a week ago, especially Drake Thomas, who's just playing with his hair on fire when his team needs him the most. So I expect them to take care of business. And then, of course, Pittsburgh. I mean, they're going against a Duke team that just can't get out of their own way, don't know who they are, can't figure anything out offensively. So I think all 3 teams take care of business this weekend.
All right, Eric, when we look at Florida State, though, and NC State, and I told Pac this, that's the one that's got me kind of confused at this point. I can't see clarity yet. I mean, I know NC State's played better over the course of the season, but Florida State's got that good feeling vibe going now. I mean, even the loss at Clemson last week, they still made a bunch of plays. I mean, Jermaine Johnson with the big kahuna, the sack, the fumble recovery, and the touchdown. I mean, all that counts. And now Travis and Corbin and every – I mean, Florida State's playing with house money, it feels like, a little bit.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see. And I think just the unpredictability of NC State. I mean, we thought that they were going to roll Miami and thought that that would be a just fine game for them. And that, of course, did not happen. So – you know, I think that they've shown you, and maybe that's their own fault on the NC State side. But, yeah, I mean, Florida State, they found out their identity. Now, that did not work at all against Clemson. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't move the ball, you know, on the ground at all against the Tigers. And I think NC State can really replicate that game plan. And as I said, the biggest thing is just not letting Jordan Travis run around free, make crazy big plays that we've seen time and time again that Clemson's severely limited. I mean, their front seven look way faster than everybody, way more physical than everybody. And I think NC State can replicate that. So I'm with you. It's a little confusing. You know, what are we going to get from that game? Just because we've seen some inconsistencies from both. I just got to think that the age, the experience, the understanding for NC State that all of your goals are still in front of you. You control your own destiny here. I think that that's going to be on the forefront of their mind and they handle business.
Eric, call me crazy. All right.
Or call me a cab.
Or call me a cab. Which might both fall into play here. We know Wake's 8-0, right? Never been 8-0, never been the top 10. They got all those boxes checked. But it feels like in the first week of November, right now, that Miami might be the hottest team in the league. I know that sounds nuts. I mean, 2-3 weeks ago, they're 2-4 going nowhere fast.
What are you doing?
All of a sudden, here comes TVD. They go back-to-back against ranked teams. They've got the easiest schedule moving forward. They got the Jackets at the Hard Rock. Yeah, I know it's Pitt. They got their deal. They're in control. Here's Virginia. They got the weekend off. We just talked to Bronco Mendenhall. But here's the U with a slinger down there, the TVD. They just look totally different. It looks like they've totally bought in and given the schedule. I'm just saying, does it feel like Miami right now might have the best mojo in the league this side of Switzerland?
I think they have the best chances to run the table here. You know, the best chances to win out just because of that lackluster schedule and because of a quarterback change. I mean, I think we've seen in this instance more than any other situation that that position matters a lot, and it can change a lot of different things. When you have a guy in there that is so just has that swagger, has that confidence, and then the preparation we're seeing go hand in hand with this opportunity, and he's delivering. I mean, he is a future superstar. I'm not going to give it to him quite yet and say that he is now, but he will be. I mean, I can't wait to, you know, do some preseason rankings next year for quarterback, and where the heck am I going to put him with all these guys that may or may not come back? Even postseason, where is he going to land with if he can continue to be on his run? And you're right, Packett, the entire Miami team just looks so different. The defense is actually tackling guys. Could you imagine that in the beginning of the season if they just wrapped up a little bit better? So I'm with you. Miami looks fantastic. If I was any of those teams on their schedule, I'm not one to play them right now. But I'm still leaning Switzerland. I mean, they are a fantastic team offensively. They're a team that knows what they want to do. And if they can just keep playing defense at a high level of getting other opportunities, getting the ball back for their offense, look out for those guys. I mean, I don't think there's any question they can run the table and end up in a playoff. Don't ask other people, though. They wouldn't tell you that. They'd say it's too soft of a schedule and all that.
Wow.
That's why we play. We keep score. You can't worry about what it looks like 6 weeks from now. You better be good tomorrow and tonight if you're Virginia Tech and BC.
Hey, by the way, you're doing one of those big shows tonight with Benetti, so you get a telestrator. We're going to get some offensive. We're going to start drawing some offensive line stuff tonight during the show. We're going. Come on. Come on now. Don't disappoint those that know and love you by not drawing offensive line play tonight. Let's start drawing Zion Johnson, Tyler Vrabel line play.
The country is going to learn more about offensive line play tonight than they have all year. I mean, it's going down. Get ready.
Like it. Nice and cool. 39 degrees at kick.
Yeah.
Let it rip.
Yeah.
I'm going sleeveless, man. I'm ripping the sleeves off my suit.
We're going all in. Come on. Don't do that. Don't do that.
If you go sleeveless.
Okay, I won't.
Hey.
If you go sleeveless, I suggest maybe not. Maybe not.
All right.
Maybe not.
All right. Jason Benetti, Paul Carcaterra, and our man number 78 line it up tonight. On ESPN2 starting at what time are you doing that? 7 o'clock, 7:30.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I need to know. Mrs. P needs to know. Are you coming back to the house like Sunday? Or I didn't get
you leaving any clothes here? What'd you do? Just do a drive by?
I can make a pit stop. If we want to do a little late lunch or something.
Oh my god,
whatever you got.
That.
Whatever.
I just need to know. Mrs. P's always planning stuff, you know.
Hey. Here's kind of the other pressing question we have. The logistics people just checked in here. Are you driving to Bristol after the game tonight, or are you going to wait and go early in the morning?
No, right after. It's going to be interesting. We got to get to work, man. I've got the best show on TV tomorrow, The Huddle, 10 o'clock. Guess what? Hey, Eddie Royal hanging out with us. Coach Mark Rick's getting honored at Georgia.
Yeah,
we've got Eddie making his debut on The Huddle, so we're excited to have him.
Here's what I suggest. After you get done with the game tonight, when you're driving back to Bristol, just roll the windows down.
Yeah.
Roll the windows down.
Yes.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Good. You'll be wide awake.
Absolutely.
Did you get one of them toll passes?
I might FaceTime you, Pack.
I'll be up.
Did you get one of the toll passes? You didn't get a toll pass?
Yeah. I mean, you can't throw the quarters in as I'm going by. Check my aim.
Well, you can. You can.
Just write it off to the company.
Wednesday, Kalamazoo. Thursday, Charlotte. Friday, Boston.
Right.
Saturday, Bristol.
Bristol, right. That's it.
Sunday, he introduces himself to his wife again.
That's right. Hello, my name is.
Hello, my name is Eric.
I'll wear a name tag.
Smart thing. All right, be well. Proud of you. Safe travels.
Appreciate you guys for everything. Right. We'll see you later.
Eric McLean. There we go.
Living the life.
Yeah, off and running tonight.
I think he did leave some clothes upstairs.
That's unfortunate.
No, it's all right. So, and listen, you know how it is.
You got a laundry service here I don't know about?
We do. I mean, you know, it's going to be great at the end of the year when I send this bill to ESPN for power, lodging, food, dry cleaners.
Yeah.
Because we really, it's like a hotel.
Is it?
What do you mean, is it? You got the West Durham Suite. It's named after you.
Stayed in it once.
Well, Eric stayed in it like.
So it's his suite now.
Well, it's his now.
There you go. On the other side, the Bojangles weekend menu.
Nice.
Yes, sir. You bet it. You betcha. We got a lot of ground to cover when we come back. We're handing out hardware this weekend. Semifinals in field hockey, soccer championship semis, and more coming up. Packer and Durham rolls on next on ACC.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, the final segment of the week. Big week for all of us next week. Big celebration next week, next Thursday.
By the way, next Tuesday, ACC basketball gets underway on both the men's and the women's side.
Is that crazy?
We got schedule of games on ESPN and the family of networks featuring ACC teams all next week. We'll bring you up to speed on that on Monday. Plus, we got some special guests lined up, I think.
That's what I hear.
For next Thursday's show 500.
Yep. It's hard to believe. 500 of them next Thursday. Suit and tie. Look like Bronco Mendenhall.
Some people are going to have to pay some other people some money next Thursday.
People are losing bets next Thursday.
That's right.
There goes, guys.
You know who you are that owes people money.
And boys
not
right
us.
There.
We are, by the way, we are not in the financial game.
No.
There were other people who bet other people it wouldn't last 500 shows.
That's it. Them boys right there, I give them 3 weeks.
Yep.
All right. Show 500's next Thursday.
500. That's right. You ready for the...
I'm starving. I'm hungry for our next segment.
Are you?
I am.
You're hungry for about 9 minutes from now. It's time for the Bojangles weekend menu, kids.
Talking.
Staple of the Football Friday edition of Packer and Durham. All right, let's get going with today. Now, these are 1 o'clocks and hockey, field hockey semifinals. Justine Sowery and Louisville meet Virginia. Syracuse, Carolina, 3:30. 1 and 3:30. Watched some of that yesterday.
A little chilly up there in New York.
Holy smokes.
A bit brisk.
Holy smokes.
Nice day for a field hockey match. Can we get the shovel to get the snow off the ground?
I think it eventually melted away.
Yeah, it was chilly.
Oh, my gosh. ACC Women's Soccer Championships, 5:30 this afternoon. Clemson, Virginia, Wake Forest, and Florida State.
Yep.
Then tomorrow, Saturday, football Saturday, number 25 Pitt at Duke, presented by Subway at high noon. Then we send you to Tallahassee, number 19, NC State, and Florida State at 4. And then in primetime, presented by Geico tomorrow night, Louisville host Clemson, all right here on ACC Network. But wait, Sunday, the field hockey championships at noon. Then we pivot to the men's soccer championships, Pack.
All on campus.
Yes. Wake at Duke, 2 o'clock. Virginia Tech at Pitt at 4. Notre Dame, Louisville at 6. North Carolina at Clemson, 8 o'clock, all on ACC Network.
And the men's soccer, that's all chalk. Those are seeded 1 through 8.
There you go.
And we had little matches earlier this week. All the top seeds took advantage of it.
All right, real quick, Women's Soccer Awards. Our congratulations to Diana Andonez of Virginia, who is the Offensive Player of the Year, Emily Madrill of Florida State, the Defensive Player of the Year, Jalen Howell of Florida State, the Midfielder of the Year, Michelle Cooper of Duke, the Freshman of the Year, and Steve Swanson of Virginia is the Coach of the Year. Congratulations to those folks.
Yep.
On their accomplishments and accolades.
Championship season.
That's it.
All started a week ago in South Bend.
Great visit with Bronco Mendenhall. Our thanks to him for joining us on a bye week. Riley Skinner, the legendary quarterback of the Deacons, and Eric McClain live from Boston. He and Jason Benetti, Paul Carcaterra tonight, 7:30 ESPN2. This is the start, by the way, of some ACC football like the next Friday, the next two Thursdays, next Thursday night, North Carolina, Pittsburgh. So remember the Tar Heels Deacons tomorrow, quick turnaround for Heinz Field on Thursday night.
It's going to be good, man. We keep talking about this race to Charlotte.
That's it.
And it's wide open
on
both sides. Normally you get the coastal chaos and Clemson's already dominated and put the Atlantic in the rearview mirror. This year, it's anybody's guess what's going to go down.
Thanks to Andrew Brooks, Josh Macri, the legendary and great Jim Milkovich for directing the show.
Florida bound.
Yep. Cannonball in the water later today for Jen. Don't pull a Packer.
Cool.
And Mikey C. in audio, Matt and Hank on the back row. and Rachel, all these people. Bless their hearts. Have a great week.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.